Glory, glory, hallelujah. And so, Lord, we come before you boldly in the name of Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. I love that. You're our kinsman Redeemer. Oh, Jesus, you're our brother, and you died that we might live. And we are so grateful to you for that gift of faith in you. So we look to you for our salvation. Just as the Israelites looked to the bronze snake to be healed, we look to you to have our hearts healed and to be healed in the sense of now we are now friends with our Heavenly Father, welcomed into his presence. So here we all come. We're rushing into your presence, Lord, and we just pray that you will hear our hearts of gratefulness, our thankful hearts, as we sing praises unto you. Be blessed by the praise of your people, and we pray, pour your Spirit out. Pour your Spirit out upon this place. Wash each one of us clean by the shed blood of Jesus. Let no unclean thing remain in this place or even draw nigh. And be glorified, we pray. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Well, you know, some people like to read Stephen King, and some people like to read, you know, whatnot, and I like to read the Bible and things about the Bible, and I like to read the ancient biblical writings as well as the Bible. Some books like Jasher and Enoch, Jubilees, these are all books. They're not in our Bibles today, although they are referenced in the Bible, and in some cases, they are parts quoted and at least alluded to in the Bible. You know, in Joshua and 2 Samuel, the book of Jasher is alluded to. Enoch is alluded to in the book of Jude. And even some of these books, while removed from our Bible, they still hold canon in parts of Christianity around the world. And so I got this website. It's called Ancient Christian Writings, and I like to read, you know, some of the extra biblical stuff. I like to read them for what that I can glean from them. Because there's enough history and supernatural information contained in these writings to be useful in understanding some of the stories of the Bible. For instance, in the Bible, in Genesis 34, it tells that two of Jacob's sons, Simeon and Levi, took swords and slew an entire city. Right? And Jasher expands upon this story and tells the story of how two men were able to slay an entire city. And the Bible tells us that Abram was a man of God, and Jasher documents Abram's life to his pre-biblical introduction. So it's things like that and other books and other supernatural information, you know, and you use your discernment when you read them, of course. Anybody who knows their Bible, I mean, really knows their Bible, then, you know, should be able to discern between the supernatural truths that are contained in them and then some of the allegory that is contained in them. And especially a Jasher and a Jubilees and an Enoch that the Bible alludes to, I encourage reading some of these other ancient writings, you know, if you feel comfortable with it. Because, after all, is it not written in John 21, verse 25? There are so many things which Jesus did, of which if they should be written, every one of them, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. Amen? So, beloved, I do not teach these books, though, as the Word of God, as the inspired Word of God. I use them as a historical reference, and in some instances, I expand my learning from their supernatural information. The book of Adam and Eve, for instance, not alluded to in the Bible, but if you read it with discernment, you can tell that there is enough supernatural information in there. There's enough prophecy in there that you can trust some of this information. Sometimes I share them here if the Lord has put something in particular on my heart in them to share. As a matter of fact, a couple of years ago, we did that with the Apology of Aristides. Amen. You remember that? That was a fun time. I think we all really enjoyed that. So recently I was perusing through some of my ancient writings, and I came across this one titled The Assumption of Moses. And it's presented as the account of the conversation between Moses and Joshua. Randy, I love the bulletin. Thank you so much. That's a great picture on the bulletin. Moses blessing Joshua as he is getting ready to lead the Israelites. Fantastic. Fantastic. Thank you, brother. The account of the conversation between Moses and Joshua when Moses tells Joshua that he, Moses, will not be leading the Israelites across the Jordan into the promised land, that God has chosen Joshua to succeed Moses in that endeavor because Moses is to die without entering the promised land as a result of his disobedience in the desert when striking the rock for water. And beloved, you could read the account of that in Numbers 20, verses 7 through 12. I'm not going to read that account here, but in your spare time. Numbers 20, 7 through 12. So as I was reading this writing, the Assumption of Moses, all these little spots, beloved, were lighting up in front of me. And that's usually how the Lord helps me discern the validity of something extra-biblical. When the Lord begins to light something up and the Lord begins to show me something, that's part of my discernment. And so I'm reading this and I'm like, wow, this is really great information. I mean, there's really things in here that were just like pow, pow, pow. And the Lord was like, look at this, look at this, look at this. And I go, this is a great Father's Day message. Hallelujah. Because what was lighting up in front of me was these little snippets of the characteristics that made Moses such a great leader of God's people. Made Moses such a great leader of God's people. I just knew that these were the characteristics that we as fathers could take into our own homes and put into our hearts and learn and grow. That these are the characteristics that would make us great fathers and great leaders of our own families, great leaders of our own houses. So let's look real quickly. Let's set the scene, as Randy is lovely to do. Let's look at the biblical account of what is happening here. And for the sake of time, I've put it together from the accounts of Numbers 27 and Deuteronomy 3. So if you want to listen. It says, "The Lord said unto Moses, go up onto the mountain and see the land which I have given unto the children of Israel. And when you have seen it, then you shall also be gathered unto your people as Aaron your brother was gathered. For you rebelled against my commandment in the desert of Zin. In the strife of the congregation you rebelled. You rebelled to sanctify me at the water before their eyes. That is the water of Meribah in Kadesh in the wilderness of Zin. And Moses said, I besought the Lord at that time, saying, O Lord, you have only begun to show your servant your greatness and your mighty hand. For what God is there in heaven or in earth that can do according to thy works, according to your might? I pray thee, let me go over and let me see this good land that is beyond the Jordan, that goodly mountain in Lebanon. But the Lord was angry with me for your sakes. He would not hear of me. And the Lord said unto me, this is enough. Speak no more to me of this matter. Go up to the top of the mountain and lift your eyes to the west, to the north, to the south, and to the east, and behold it with your eyes, for you shall not go over this Jordan. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which you see. And Moses spoke unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, who may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and who may lead them out, and may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord would not be as a sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay your hand upon him. And Moses did as the Lord commanded, and he took Joshua, and he set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and he laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Bless the reading of your word in this place. So this, beloved, is where we're going to pick up today's message. Moses is telling Joshua, all right, Joshua, from the beginning, this Joshua was his right-hand man, his servant, right? Joshua is like a son to Moses. And Moses is like a father to Joshua. He's been at Moses' side right from the very beginning, from the very first battle with the Amalekites in Exodus 17, to being one of the only spies to bring back a good report of the promised land. Throughout the deserts, throughout the wilderness, Joshua was at Moses' side. I think he was 19, right, when he was sent out with the spy. And so he was like 17 when he went into his first battle there against the Amalekites. Just, he's been there the whole time. And now here we are, we're, you know, they're about ready to enter the promised land. As we know, it's 40 years later. So, you know, son and father, special. And now the time has come. Now the time has come. For the Israelites are going to go enter into the promised land after 40 years in the desert, after 40 years being together. They're about ready to go into the promised land. And Moses takes Joshua aside and tells him, I'm not going with you. You will be leading them in without me. And today's message comes from Joshua's distraught answer. Can you imagine his distraught answer as he pours his heart out to his beloved master? What will we do without you? How will we be able to go forth one day without the things that you do, fathers, dads, your family, your kids? How will we go forth one day without you? So as we go through this message today, beloved, feel free to stop, ask questions, make comments. Today is our day, dads. Amen? Amen. Right? I have put in bold all of the areas that the Lord lit up for me. Those are the areas that we're going to focus on during today's message, but please share anything that may hit your heart as we go through this message today. So the characteristics of a great leader, this is from the Assumption of Moses. When Joshua had heard the words of Moses that were so written in his writing, all that he had before said, he rent his clothes and cast himself at Moses' feet. And Moses comforted him and wept with him. But Joshua answered him and said, why do you comfort me, my Lord Moses? How shall I be comforted in regard to the bitter word which you have spoken, which has gone forth from your mouth, which is full of tears and lamentation, and that you depart from this people? But what place will even receive you? What shall be the sign that marks your sepulcher? Who shall dare to move your body from there as that of a mere man from place to place? For all men, when they die, have according to their age their sepulchers on earth, but your sepulcher is from the rising to the setting of the sun, and from the mouth from the south to the confines of the north, all of the world is your sepulcher. Let me take a moment, beloved. You know, sometimes I don't think that we grasp just how great Moses was. Moses and Jesus are the two greatest men in the Bible, even though Jesus said, you know, John the Baptist, no one was born of him. When you read it, I just don't think that we see how great Moses was to God and to his people. Just a couple of verses about Moses before we move on, because I just want to give him props. Amen. So in Exodus 33, it says, the Lord spoke unto Moses face to face as a man speaks to a friend. Amen. And then Numbers 12, the Lord says to Miriam and Aaron, Moses' sister and brother, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak to him in a dream. But it is not so with my servant Moses. He is entrusted with all my house, and with him I speak mouth to mouth. Clearly. Amen. And not in dark speeches. And he beholds the form of the Lord. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? I remember the time that I was speaking harshly to my wife one time. And the Lord spoke to me and he said, how dare you speak to my daughter that way? And I remember thinking, he didn't say my wife, you know.
Yeah.
He reminded me, how dare you speak to my daughter that way? Moses was such a friend of God that when he died, as it is written in Deuteronomy, God himself buried his body. So we've only got so much time for message today. I'm sorry, Randy. But I encourage you, fathers, if you want to be better leaders of your home, go and study who Moses was and what Moses did. Amen? Amen. So let's get into the meaty part of the word right now. I'd like you to realize how these characteristics are broken down into four main parts as we go forth. The spiritual provision, the physical provision, protection from evil and enemies, and redemption from unrighteousness. Fathers, leaders of your homes, realize that your characteristics, your jobs, are broken down into these. Spiritual provision, physical provision, protection from evil and enemies, and redemption from unrighteousness. Fathers, your duty to your family is to understand and keep these four characteristics front and center in your leadership. And we could probably spend an entire message on every one of these precepts, but for the sake of today's message, we're just going to go with one or two biblical examples from each concept. Beloved, these printouts are yours to take home with you and keep and meditate upon them. Go to the Bible and expand upon them yourselves in your study time. So go to the Word here. So Joshua says, "My Lord, you are departing, and who shall feed this people?" Now, beloved, this is not a physical feeding. That part comes later. First is the spiritual feeding that he's talking about. Who shall feed this people? Moses continually taught his children, and the people were his children in this time, in this sake. 600,000 plus children. Amen? He received the law from God. He wrote the law from God, and he taught the law from God. Daily, he was ready to teach God's word for the purpose of doctrine, reproof, for correction, and for instruction in righteousness. Moses taught them many things, obviously. He wrote and he taught and he taught and he taught the first five books of the Bible. But today's example of spiritual feeding was even quoted by Jesus Christ our Lord as the greatest commandment. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. And fathers, you shall teach them diligently unto your children. Talk of them when you sit in your house. Talk of them when you rise up and walk by the way. Talk of them when you lie down, and talk of them when you rise up. You shall bind them for a sign upon your hand. They shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them upon the posts of your house and upon your gates. Amen? Amen. That's where the word of God is supposed to be in our lives, fathers. Amen. That is spiritual feeding. My Lord, you are departing. Who shall feed this people? Or who is there that shall have compassion upon them? Have compassion upon them. When Jesus was tired, he had compassion on the multitudes. When he was tired, when he was fed up, when he was weary, sound familiar, fathers? Amen. 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 When he was tired and fed up and weary, when he was on his way to do other things, Jesus stopped. And he taught, and he fed, and he healed. Amen? Leaders don't get the luxury of taking time off from the ones who need them. If God is your strength, being tired or overwhelmed doesn't cut it when they are hungry, when they have homework, when they need your attention. Amen? Now, that doesn't mean that we have to do it alone. Hallelujah. Even Moses had help. Even Jesus had help. Moses had his delegates, and Jesus had his disciples. But, as it is written, the hard cases they brought to Moses, but every small matter the delegates judged themselves. And you remember the man who came to Jesus, amen? Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic. And I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cast him out. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. We have help, amen. But compassion means that through hunger and exhaustion, and despite being overwhelmed, that you are ready when the delegates are not. When it's too much for them, beloved fathers, it cannot be too much for you. Amen? Who shall be their guide by the way? Who shall be their guide by the way? What does it mean to be the guide by the way? There's a story told about a prominent lawyer. And he was a very well-known lawyer in town, but he had an alcohol problem. He had a drinking problem. And so every day he would get all dressed up nice, and he would go down, and he would walk down the street, and he would just pop into the bar for a little drink before work. You know, pop on out, head on off to the office. And one day he was doing that, and he came on down, and there was a little light snow falling on the ground, and he, you know, he began his daily walk, and he heard a little something behind him. He turned around and looked, and there was his little six-year-old son. And the little six-year-old boy had gotten away from mom, and he'd gotten down the house, and he was walking down the street, putting his little feet right in every footstep of his dad. And he stood there in front of that bar, and he looked at his boy putting his little feet in every little footstep. And overcome, he ran back and he grabbed his little boy and he scooped him up and he took him back home. He gave him to his mom. And he ran downstairs and he fell upon his knees. And he said, Lord God, help me to never lead my children someplace other than to you. Being a guide in the way does not mean your mouth. Your mouth does not guide your family. Your footprints do. Amen? Amen. They are following in footsteps that you don't know that you're leaving. And you don't know that they're following. Being a guide in the way. Who shall pray for them, not omitting a single day? Who shall pray for them, not omitting a single day? Moses was the one who wrote, you shall teach them diligently unto the children. Talk of them every day when you sit, and when you rise, and when you walk, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. Not omitting a single day, amen? Who shall pray for them, not omitting a single day? In order that I may lead them into the land of their forefathers. How therefore am I to foster this people as a father? 5 and 6 go together here. Because they speak of preparing your house and your children to be the next leaders of their own houses. You hear what Joshua is asking? How am I to foster this people as a father? How may I lead them into the land of their forefathers? Spiritually, beloved, they are looking for you to be an example of how to be good parents to their children. How will I lead them as a parent? What kind of parent will I be? How am I to foster my own children as a father? In English, we think of this word foster as a substitute, right? A foster parents or whatever. Usually someone referred to as ones who've taken in an orphan or some other child who's been separated from their parents. But the word foster in Hebrew is defined as a set of actions. Support, confirm, be faithful, uphold, and nourish. It comes from a root word that means the pillars which support the doors of the house. How shall I foster them? support them, confirm them, be faithful to them, uphold them, and nourish them. How shall I foster this people as a father, his only son, or as a mistress, her daughter, a virgin who is being prepared to be given to the husband whom she will revere, while she guards her person from the sun and takes care that her feet are not unshod from running upon the grounds? Beloved, that's a spiritual prophecy. It's not part of today's message, but that is a prophetic word right there. Ask the Lord to open it up for you sometime. Amen? So here we get into the physical needs. Now he's talking about a physical need. How shall I supply them with food and drink according to the pleasure of their will? Supply them with food and drink. It seems obvious. But supplying your family with their physical needs is an important part of being the leader in your house. And sometimes, God allows situations in our lives where we find ourselves in need of help to make that happen. Amen. Amen. And when you need help, you've basically got two choices, God and Egypt. When the Israelites were hungry, Moses went to God and he provided for them manna and quail. Right? When they were thirsty, Moses went to God, who provided water from a rock. Now, when Jacob was hungry, he went to Egypt, right? And beloved, what eventually happened when Israel went to Egypt for help? 400 years of slavery. When Jacob went to Egypt for help, eventually they became slaves. So when you go to God first with your needs, when he supplies, and Randy knows this, amen, his supplies never run out. The manna continued for 40 years in the desert. In 1 Kings 17, the flour never ran out. The jug of oil never became empty, even through drought and famine, because they trusted in the Lord first. But when you go to Egypt, they can cut you off at any time. And believe this, there will come a day when Egypt will tell you that you cannot buy or sell. You will receive no more help, no unemployment, no food stamps, no nothing, unless you take their mark. God wants you to trust him first to supply your needs. First, you must leave Egypt. Then he can supply your needs in the desert. Amen? How shall I supply them with food and drink, Joshua asked Moses, according to the pleasure of their will? For of them there are 600,000 men, not counting women and children. For these have multiplied to this degree through your prayers. My Lord Moses, what wisdom or understanding have I that I should judge or answer by word in the house of the Lord? Judge or answer by word in the house of the Lord. Beloved fathers, when you make a decision for your house, it should be based upon biblical principles and biblical doctrine. Amen? It should not be your own opinion, but it should come from a biblical example. And in order to make decisions on a biblical example, it is necessary to know your Bible. Amen?
Know your Lord.
Know your Lord. Study your word and be able to answer all questions with a biblical answer. It's all in here. Like the answer to every question of every day is in here somewhere. Some example, some question, some anything. Every question is somewhere here in the Word of God. What should I eat? What should I drink? What should I wear? And if the simplest things like that are answered, you know the larger ones are answered as well. Everything has a judgment or an answer somewhere in the Word of God. So the next paragraph, beloved, is a list of some of the personal attributes of Moses. See, Moses was Superman to Joshua. Amen? And fathers, when our family looks at us, they should see Superman as well. Hallelujah. The kings of the Amorites, when they hear that we are attacking them,
believing that there is no longer among them you, Moses, the Holy Spirit who is worthy of the Lord. Fathers, be a Holy Spirit worthy of the Lord. Yeah. Be a Holy Spirit worthy of the Lord. Don't forget, fathers, that He has chosen you. And if He chose you, He equipped you to rule this house that He has given you. Be worthy of that calling. Worthy of the Lord. Manifold and incomprehensible. Manifold means abundant and great, a strong and exceeding captain or chief. Manifold and incomprehensible means your family should stand a bit in awe of you and how you handle pressure situations, how you handle things. Amen. Your family should, wow, He got us through that. Amen. Remember, if God be for you, who can be against you? The Lord of the Word. Read your Bible. Let your family see you reading it. Teach it to them. Read it with them and with you. Be ready to answer their questions about it. Be Lord of the Word in your house. God has put you in charge, fathers. You are Lord of the Word of your house. Amen? Amen. And you need to know your word lest you be like the men of the Church of Hebrews. Children, it says, that when they should have been teachers, yet they needed someone to teach them the elementary principles. When they should have been feeding on the meat of the word, they needed to be fed with milk. Don't be like those men. Amen? Be the Lord of the Word, who is faithful in all things. What you say when you drive, what kind of television you watch, the internet sites that you visit. I don't need to list them all out, amen? Faithful in all things. But the things you spend the house's money on. And yes, it is not your money. It is the house's money. You did not earn it for yourself. You earned it for the house. Amen? And in fact, you didn't earn it at all without God. As it is written, it is God who gives the ability to gain wealth. Therefore, beloved fathers, be faithful in it and in all things, for little feet are following you. Faithful in all things. God's chief prophet throughout the earth. And I love this stuff. God's chief prophet throughout the earth. This harkens back to a previous message just a little while ago. The purpose of a prophet is not to be right all the time. The purpose of a prophet is to be believed in order that God may effect His desired outcome on the people being prophesied to. In this case, your family. Amen? Remember, God has plans for them too. God has plans for them too. Plans for good and not evil. So when you speak over them, speak life things. Speak good things. Just like with my wife. This hits me personally hard sometimes. I know that I've stolen the joy from my wife and kids with my words at times. I know that I've stolen the joy from my wife and kids with my words. So fathers, don't let your words steal their joy. Speak life. Prophesy godly things. Don't prophesy, you'll shoot your eye out, kid. Right? Unless God instructs you to say it. In which case, you might just want to go ahead and take the BB gun away in the first place. Right? I can't say it enough. Don't let your words steal their joy. The most perfect teacher in the world. Lofty goal. The most perfect teacher in the world. When you think back, though, to some of your great teachers in school, what made them so great? I bet one of the top answers would be patience. What makes the most perfect teacher in the world? Patience. Randy is always saying about Julia, who taught special needs kids, she was so good with them because she was always so patient with them. Amen? The Israelites were literally the most fickle, doggone people I can ever imagine. Every turn was like a clinic for Moses, right? This water is bitter. Did you bring us out into the desert to die of thirst? Right? I'm tired of eating this manna. We should go back to Egypt. Did you bring us out here to starve us to death? Amen? Like every turn, right? Moses, his tent is on my side. Moses, he's touching me. Moses, are we there yet? Right? The Israelites, man. But Moses loved them, right? I mean, some of us would have just given up. But Moses loved them, and he fed them, and he gave them water, and he judged their problems. And beloved, this is the most amazing thing to me. He stayed with them in the wilderness, even though God offered to wipe them out and start over with a brand new people from Moses' own loins. Right? No, nope. Patient Moses. Oh, don't do that, Lord. Yeah, these people may be a bunch of stiff-necked children, but they are your people, Lord. Have patience with them and teach me to have patience with them. The most perfect teacher. So now we come to the last paragraph. The last paragraph about characteristics pertaining to protection from evil and redemption from unrighteousness. Now, beloved fathers, strap it up. Pull your pants up. Because this is the part that may get up in our chili a little bit. But the Word of God is not always supposed to make us feel good about ourselves.
That's right.
Right? Sometimes we need to be challenged in our comfort. So the kings of the Amorites would say, let us go against them. Right? For if the enemy, that would be the Israelites, that would be your family. Your family is the enemy to the kings of the Amalekites. Right? Your family is the enemy to the world. Amen? Your family is the enemy of the world. So they say, let us go against them, the world says. Let's go against his family. Let's go against his family. For if they have but once wrought impiously against their Lord, they have no advocate to offer prayers on their behalf. Mm-hmm. Beloved, we all say that we do it. We all like to think that we do it. And I think some of us do it. But what kind of prayers do we really offer up on a regular basis for our family? And what I mean is this. How long do you spend praying for your family? Television off, distractions out, nothing going on, not in the car, not in the shower, not while you're working, nothing. I'll bet it's less than we think. Or at the very least, less than I'd like to admit. How often during a normal day do we stop everything and offer up advocate prayers on behalf of our family? I'll be honest. If you spend a minute in the morning, and a minute in the afternoon, and a minute in the evening, and I mean a full minute, right? No TV, no car, not while you're working, one full minute in prayer, three times a day. I'll be honest, if we do that, I'd be impressed. I mean, when you think about the day, when you think about the busyness of the day, when you think about getting up and everything that has to happen when you get up and you got to get ready for work and then you got to go to work and you got to do blah, 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 right? When you think about the day, and I think, I pray, and having a conversation with God all day long, fantastic. Right? But can I tell myself that for 1 minute, three times a day, I stop everything, get down on my knees, and offer advocate prayers on behalf of my family? I think I'd be lying if I said that I did, and I'd be impressed if you guys do. It's just not something that we stop our busy lives to do, because we do have a running conversation with the Lord all the time. I think that a lot of us are in tune with the Lord on a long time. But we'll find out a little bit later exactly what Moses was like. I'd be lying if I had to say that I was anything like that, right? We have our reading time. We have our Bible time. We have our study time. We pray in the car. We pray in the shower. We say grace at lunch. We say grace at meals. We do all of that. But to just stop my day and get down on my knees and advocate for my family, I need to get better at that. They have no advocate to offer prayers on their behalf to the Lord, like Moses, the great messenger. Moses, the great messenger. Fathers, are you a great messenger in your house? Are you a great messenger in your house? Do you correct them when they have done wrong and praise them when they have done right? That is a great messenger. A great messenger is consistent. Now, truthfully, here's a little tidbit for the moms here on Father's Day. I see it mostly with moms and older daughters. I see it mostly with mom and my older daughter. Sometimes moms, they just don't want the fight with their daughters. Amen. They just don't want the fight over what they're wearing, who their friends are, what they're doing online, getting their chores done. Amen. But guess what, dads? You're up, right? It shouldn't be your wife's fight, although there are some topics that are better left between mom and daughter. If you've done your job first, beloved fathers, the fight shouldn't be a hard one for your wife to win. Right? It should be a look. Remember, you're Superman. You are Superman, and your wife has you backing her up. Right? Lois Lane was never afraid to go into danger. Right? Because Superman was always going to be there to rescue her. All kids are going to put up a fight here and there about certain things. If you've raised your house as a great messenger with consistent praise and correction, with biblical standards as the measuring line, their fight won't have much heart behind it. Right? You want to see them fight a little bit, but when they know, they're not going to have a whole lot of heart behind it. You're going to make it easier on your wives, beloved. And here we go. What was advocate prayers on their behalf? This is one of my favorites. Every hour, day and night, he had his knees fixed to the earth, praying and looking for help to him who rules all the world with compassion and righteousness. Every hour, day and night, knees fixed to the ground, praying and looking for help from him. There it is. I mentioned that I'd be impressed if we could do it for 1 minute, three times a day. What made Moses so great? What made Moses so great? Every hour, day and night, knees fixed to the ground, praying and looking for help from him. Reminding him of the covenant of the fathers. So what did Moses pray for? You can read all about the covenant that we share with our Father through the shed blood and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in your newly shamed study life. Amen? But here's a start that the Lord offered for this message. Lord, you have promised that you would never leave me nor forsake me. Lord, you have promised that if I raise my children up in you, that they would always return to you. And Lord, you have promised that you will be my God and I will be your people. Amen? Reminding him of the covenant. You would never leave me nor forsake me. My children will return to you. You will be my God and I will be your people. And finally, propitiating the Lord with the oath. What does propitiating mean? It means taking the blame upon myself when it is due. It means admitting that my family's shortcomings are my failures. It means that if there's a demonic attack on my children, that I have allowed something in my house that I should not have. It means that if there's a problem in my marriage, it's because I haven't loved my wife the way Christ loved the church. It means that if my children are disrespectful to others, that I didn't correct them as needed. It means That I was too wrapped up in myself to allow my family's well-being to bother my lifestyle. That is what propitiating yourself means. That I didn't stand fast and take the heat when making an unpopular decision about my kids' education or the friends that they hang out with or what they do in their spare time, what they hang on their walls in their rooms. I didn't make the right decision for my family. It means that their failings are my failings. And if I want my family's situation to change, then I have to go to the Lord and admit that the failing is mine and put myself on the line for them. David and Moses, great men of God, men after God's own heart, they are our examples. In 2 Samuel 24, David spoke unto the Lord when he saw the angel smiting the people, and he said, Lord, I have sinned. Lord, I have sinned, and I have done wickedly. But these sheep, what have they done? Let your hand, I pray thee, be against me and against my father's house. But leave these people. Leave these people be. The sin is mine. I have done wickedly. Let your hand be against me. In Exodus 32, Moses returned unto the Lord and said, Lord, and you know, these people have sinned a great sin. They have made them gods of gold. But now, if you will forgive their sin, please. But if not, blot me out from your book which you have written. Moses put himself way on the line for those people. I will never forget the time that I was sitting with a friend whose daughter was having marital troubles with her husband who was not a Christian. And we were watching a John Hagee telecast. And that John Hagee looked straight into the camera and said, Fathers, if you walked your daughter down the aisle and put her hand in the hand of a devil, that's your fault. I'll never forget, it was like he'd been punched in the gut. And I'll never forget that lesson in my own life as well. And Joshua then finishes his tear-filled speech with what we can only assume is a tear-filled question. What shall then become of this people, my Lord Moses? Be encouraged today, beloved fathers. For though our houses need constant care, we have an advocate even greater than Moses. Amen. We have the daily opportunity to fall on our knees every hour of every day and night. We have the opportunity to fall on our knees and bring the problems and frustrations of our sons and our daughters and our wives before the perfect Son. And He will advocate the Father on our behalf. But it will take you, fathers, to be a great leader in your house. For without you, dads, what shall become of this people? What shall become of your house? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this word. Praise His name. Praise His name.